I thank you this morning, Father, that you've given us so much of your word, that you've given us understanding in it, that you've given us the clear revelation of you in Christ Jesus through the word. And I thank you, Father, for the privilege this morning of sharing it together. As we come before your word today, Lord, we know that the only way that it'll be ministered to us will be on the basis that you minister it by your Spirit. The only way that it'll become life inside us is that you cause it to be life by your Holy Spirit. As I speak the word, Father, and as we share it today, I thank you that it is Spirit and it is life, that it does not return void, but it always prospers. It always accomplishes your purpose. While we may not always know what it is you're doing with the word, you are doing something, or you wouldn't cause it to go forth in the first place. And I thank you this morning, Father, for what you're going to do as the word is ministered. I thank you for what you're going to share with us this morning, Father. I bless you because I know that it's you and your Spirit that is doing the ministry. And Father, it is my desire to be a vessel unto honor in your house, but I want to be only the vessel. I don't want to be the content. So you pour your good drink through this vessel this morning. Speak your word, Father. Speak your word in mighty power and in clarity, the way that you desire for it to go forth, and minister it to your children, Father. And I thank you for it ahead of time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. John, the 15th chapter. I just feel impressed to share this with you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. One of the most beautiful passages of God's word. Verse beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, Jesus said. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's you and me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I guess we could take those verses and probably talk on them for the rest of the day or the week. But the thing that I'm impressed with most about this passage of Scripture And I don't know exactly why the Lord would impress it upon us this morning, but the thing that I sense Him wanting us to know this morning is not a new revelation to you at all, but rather a renewal of the truth. Jesus said, I want you to understand who you are and who I am. He said, you are not the vine, you're the branch. I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser, He said. He's the husbandman. Now, if you know anything about plant life, you know that the branches do not exist of themselves. If they are separated from off the vine, when you go out and prune your trees and your shrubs, what happens to the branches that you prune off? They wither up and they die. You cannot have any life in you unless you are in the vine. You must first be in the vine in order to have life at all. The life and the strength that is in the branch comes from the vine. Jesus Christ is the vine. Now that's not news. You all know that. As I said, I don't know exactly why the Lord is impressing this morning. But this one verse of Scripture just jumps out at me. It's in verse 5. It's the idea is all through it, but especially in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then this part is the one that really sticks with me. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, you can't do anything. And I can't do anything. He says in verse 4, except the branch abide in the vine, it cannot bear fruit. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Since the Lord's saying to us this morning that we need to be absolutely sure that there is no confusion in our individual lives or in our life as a church about who is doing the work, there needs to be no confusion as to where the life is coming from. The life is not coming out of the branches. It's not coming out of me. It's not coming out of you. It's not coming out of the board. It's not coming out of the ladies' group. It's not coming out of the men's group. It's not coming out of the youth fellowship. It's not coming out of the people that are in the pews. It's not coming out of the accompanist or the music director. It's not coming out of the ushers. It's not coming out of the groundskeepers. It's not coming out of the church secretary. It's not coming out of any single branch or any group of branches. It is coming out of the vine, and the vine's name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one in whom is the life, and it is His life that is flowing in you and in this church. And without Him, you, me, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, it doesn't matter what you think you can do or what we think we can do. Without Him and His doing it through us, nothing will be accomplished in your life or in this place. Now, there may be somebody here this morning that has been successful in business. You may have been very successful in the ways of the world. You may have been very successful in other kinds of things that you have done. But if you have done it on your own strength, if the life in that circumstance has not come through the vine, Jesus Christ of Nazareth declares unto you this morning that you have done nothing. There may be somebody here this morning that has said, I've been a good church member all my life. I've given my money freely. I've served the Lord. I've been a deacon. I've taught Sunday school. I swept the church out when it was dirty. I've even cleaned the restrooms. I've done all those things. I've been president of the men of the church. I've been the head of the women of the church. I've been a leader in women's Bible study groups. I've worked with youth. I've done all these wonderful things in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not done it in Christ Jesus Himself, not in His church, but in Him, it's nothing, Jesus said. Without Jesus in it, without the vine, you can do nothing. Now I want you to get this clear. What we may think we have done and called something, Jesus Christ of Nazareth calls nothing. Nothing. Not a little bit. It's not like transferring colleges. You know, when you transfer from one college to another, they tell me that you lose a few credits. It's not like that. It's not like that. Those kinds of things that you do without the life of the vine in them are like straw, hay, stubble, and wood, and when the fire comes of God's judgment, they'll be burned up. Burned up. And you know what will remain when the fire is finished? Nothing. Zippo. Zero. 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 Nothing. Nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. Now, that was hard for me to learn, because I used to think I could do anything. And I did do a lot of things. And I thought I did them well. And if you would ask the people in the world, they would say, yes, Vic, you did do them well. And my boss would say, yes, you did it well. And my wife would say, yes, you did it well. And my own heart would say, yes, you did it well. And everybody around would say, yes, you did it well. Do you know what Jesus Christ was saying? Nothing. Zero. It's wasted. There's nothing there. It's as if you never did it. Without Christ, without Jesus Christ in you doing the work, what you do is not worth anything. Anything. As I'm prone to say from time to time, that plus a dime will buy you a cup of coffee at a cheap restaurant. There's no credit for that which you do without the life coming from the vine. Now, how does this happen? How do you get this life in you? First of all, Jesus said, the branches abide in the vine. The branch lives in the vine. The branch is connected with the vine. It's locked in there by an eternal, solid kind of a connection. God's holy word calls that the new birth. God's word does not call that church membership. God's word doesn't call it water baptism. God's word doesn't call it good works. God's word calls that kind of an abiding, connecting relationship the new birth. Jesus said, no man may see the kingdom of God, let alone inherit it, unless he be born again. 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 That's the only way that a branch is going to abide in the vine. Now, how are you born again? Very simple. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, not the sins of everybody else around you, but your own personal sins, and that he rose from the dead by the power of God, and he lives today, and you confess him as Lord, inviting him into your heart. He will come into your heart and give you a brand new life. It's that simple. There's no reason to make that complicated. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 12 months or 24 months or 36 months until you get a solid vine established. Jesus Christ will give you that new birth this morning here while I'm preaching the word, if you'll open your heart. While I'm speaking the word of God, he will minister the new birth to your life, to your heart, and he will put the new life within you so that you have the vine flow in that life and that vitality into you and that strength and the joy and the peace and the power that we're singing about and sharing about today. That's how you receive the new birth. And when you are born again, you are grafted into the vine. Your branch is now plugged into the vine of Christ Jesus. Now, once there, I want you to think about what a branch does. Just think about the branches that you know. What do? They don't do anything, do they? They yield themselves to the life which is in the vine. And when the vine sends the nutrient up, they receive it. And they apply, they allow it to flow in them, and they grow. When the bud begins to bloom out on the end of that branch, if you've got a blooming branch, when the bloom begins to grow, the branch doesn't say, hey, come on, let's get some more, let's hurry up and get this bloom growing. Nor does it say, don't grow this bloom on me, I don't want it. The branch is just there to support the bloom. and the bloom grows. Why does the bloom grow? Because the branch did anything? No. Only because the branch was available to the vine to be used to bear that bloom. And when the apple begins to grow on it, and the fruit begins to grow, the branch is still there to allow the life from the vine to come on through itself to the fruit. Without the vine, Jesus said, the branch is useless. Without me, you are useless. Without me, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything. I think it's important for us to judge. The scripture says, Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'm sorry, the 11th chapter, judge yourselves lest ye be judged. Judge yourselves lest ye be judged. Seems appropriate to me that we as the body of Jesus Christ need to recognize who we are and then who He is. We need to be sure that we maintain in order whose life it is and where it's coming from. I don't know how it is with you. This is coming this morning, this is really helping me a lot. Because I'm one of those guys that the minute I know God wants to put a bloom on me, I want to hurry up and tell Him how to do it, when to do it, and tell Him what color to make it. And then I want to help Him make it. Instead of just waiting for Him to make it. And you know what we wind up with every time I help God make a bloom on me? We wind up with a plastic flower. We wind up with an artificial bloom. And do you know who gets blessed with an artificial bloom? Nobody, not even me. And surely not God. Surely not God. Because what I've done because of my misunderstanding, what I've done is I have prevented the Spirit of God, the life of Christ in flowing through me to produce a beautiful bloom. Something that would bless somebody. Something that would minister to somebody. Something that would help somebody. Instead, I get a phony plastic flower that anybody looking at can tell that it's not real. And that's the way it happens in your life, as well as in mine. And that's the way it happens in the life of the church. So many of our churches are producing plastic flowers, the artificial kind. God wants us not to produce a single artificial bloom, not a single artificial piece of fruit. Many of you have artificial fruit on your dining room table. You have a bowl of it. Some of it looks very good. We have one lady in the church that has artificial biscuits on her table. They look so good. I've tried to eat them 3 times. Now, they've been artificial every time I've tried to eat them, but they still look good. I've tried to eat them. But you have this artificial fruit. When you pick it up, it looks real good, doesn't it? Looks just like the real thing. It's the right color. It's the right shape. There's no blemishes on it. It looks absolutely perfect. But put it to your mouth and take a bite. Doesn't minister to you at all. Won't satisfy you. Doesn't even taste good. It'll make your mouth all pucker up. You see, what Jesus said is without the real life, whatever you do is nothing. It doesn't make any difference how beautiful it looks. It's nothing as far as He is concerned. There is nothing eternal about it. There's nothing lifelike about it. It is plastic and it is artificial. I can't tell you how powerfully God has been dealing with me in many, many different ways about what He wants us to do right here in this place. Right here. He doesn't want anything artificial here. He doesn't want anything plastic here. He doesn't even want the silk kind. He wants the real kind. The real thing. And the only way that you will have the real thing in your life, the only way that we will have the real thing in the life of our church is to allow the life that is in the vine. The life is the Holy Spirit. He is the life giver. He's the one that filled Christ Jesus. He's the one that fills you. He's the one that fills this body. And if we will just be branches and allow His life to flow up through that vine and out into this branch and out into this branch and out into this branch, and we should say not to one another, don't produce a flower like that. That's not what God wants to produce on you. Don't produce this kind of a flower because God wants something different on you. Let's allow God to decide what it is He wants on us. Let's let him flow the life through each of those branches. So if he wants to produce one kind over here and another kind over here and another kind over here, another kind over here, it'll be his bouquet and not ours. It'll be his fruit basket and not ours. And this I declare unto you, if Jesus Christ produces the bouquet, if Jesus Christ produces the bowl of fruit, if Jesus Christ sends the life through us and we allow him free sway to produce in us what he wants to produce, I declare unto you, it will be the most beautiful bouquet. It will be the most beautiful fruit bowl. It will be the most beautiful thing that will, in fact, minister life to the people that are in contact with us. It will administer health and healing to those that are broken. It will administer salvation to the lost. It will administer the need to the needs of the people. Because it's him. It's him. And do you know all he wants today? Jesus Christ is not looking for the world's greatest orator. Jesus Christ is not looking today for the world's most beautiful woman. Jesus is not looking today for the person who is the greatest musician in all the world. God is not looking today for the world's greatest businessman, or the world's greatest teacher, or the world's greatest student, or the world's greatest kindergarten student. I'm going to tell you what God is looking for today. God is looking for branches. He's looking for men and women and boys and girls and young people and old people who will be willing to be branches, who will allow the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do. The psalm we read today, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory. Unto thy name give glory. God's not looking for the best the world has to offer. What God is looking for is our openness. He's looking for our yieldedness. He's looking for our willingness to do his will. And I'd just ask you this question. Are you satisfied that you have and are, as of this moment, completely and fully open to the Spirit of God? Are you available unto him and truly listening for his voice? Or have you got half of his voice mixed up with your own? Are you really and truly willing to allow him to grow on you a crabapple? Now think about it. Think about it. Think about it. It's not so bad if he wants to grow pomegranates. It wouldn't be so bad if he'd want to grow peaches and pears and beautiful, luscious fruits. But suppose he wanted to use you as a crabapple tree. Huh? Are you willing? Would you let him produce crabapples on you? Or would you fight him every step of the way? Would you say, no, 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 they're not big enough, they're not sweet enough, they're not good for anything? I want you to grow delicious red apples on me, not crabapples. See, God has in his creation crab apples as well as red delicious, doesn't he? He's got all kinds. All kinds. God didn't make a mistake when he made his creation. He looked out upon it after he was finished, and he looked at it and he said, it is very good. Very good. I resolve that God Almighty will look upon my life and he will say, good. Very good. I resolve that he will do so. Because I've got a part to play in that. I'm going to allow him to do what he thinks is good. And I exhort you, as my brothers and sisters in the Lord, to do the same. To let his life flow through you. If there's a hindrance today in the life of Christ flowing through your branch, today is the day to get it removed. If you're not even in the vine, man, you got to take care of that right away. Today is the day to do that. Not tomorrow, not the next day. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you today on that, on the basic issue of the new birth, if you're not absolutely sure you've been born again and the Spirit of God is ministering to you as I'm preaching the word or as we're singing or what have you, don't you leave here today without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might never get another chance. You might never have another opportunity. As I was driving along in my car today, or not today, but one day this week, the Lord was ministering to me that most people do not realize, most people who are not truly saved, they don't realize how urgent the need is to come to Christ. They don't realize how important, how imperative, how utterly essential it is that they yield themselves completely to God and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And they think, well, I'll have another 30 years, or I'll have another 50 years, or I'll have another 20 years, or I'll have another 2 weeks. I've got plenty of time for this. But do you know this? The Spirit of God is not always calling you with the same degree of strength. You can come to God anytime you want to, but there are times when you will want to more than others. The Scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And today may be the day that the Spirit of God is drawing on you and pulling you and tugging at you and loving you in a way that he never has before and will never be able to again. The people who are hardest to reach for Christ are those that have been in church all their life and never been saved. The ones that are hardest to come to Christ Jesus are the ones that have heard the gospel over and over and over again and get harder and harder and harder. The Lord showed me one time when I was thinking about this very thing, meditating on it. He reminded me of an oyster and how a pearl grows in an oyster. And he said, you know that when the oyster, you know, for those of you that don't know this, you get a lesson this morning about pearls and oysters. A pearl starts with a little grain of sand that creeps in the shell of the oyster and irritates the oyster. Irritates him, makes him uncomfortable. That's exactly what the Word of God does when it comes into the heart of a person who's unsaved. It irritates, and you begin to squirm on the inside. I believe there's some people squirming here this morning. I don't know who you are, so don't worry about it. But God wouldn't have me doing this if something wasn't going on this morning. That little grain of sand gets in there. The Word of God gets into the heart, you see, of a person who has not been born again, and he begins to squirm on the inside. He's uncomfortable, and he doesn't know why he's uncomfortable or she's uncomfortable. She doesn't know what to do. It says, well, I'll take care of it later. Do you know what the oyster does when he gets uncomfortable and he can't expel that grain of sand? He secretes a solution, and he wraps the grain of sand up with it so that he takes the rough corners off of it, and it comes nice and round and smooth. And then when it begins to irritate him again, he secretes another solution and it goes around the pearl again. And when you find a big pearl, that's a grain of sand that has given an oyster a lot of trouble. Because it's coat upon coat upon coat. Well, that's exactly the way it works with the Word of God as it goes forth into the life and the heart of a person who has not been saved. If you'll yield to that in the beginning, if you'll just allow the Word of God to cleanse you. Jesus Christ said, ye are cleansed through the Word that I've spoken unto you. If you'll allow the Word of God to just cleanse you and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that grain of sand won't irritate anymore. It'll bless. God will write his law on the inside of your heart. But if you insist, you see, upon surrounding that grain of sand with the secretion that the devil will give you so that it doesn't bother you anymore, and then continue to do this every time, do you realize that when you've got a pearl that size and a tiny little grain of sand, it's almost impossible to get down to that grain of sand again. And the same thing will happen to you if you hear the Word of God over and over and over again and you continue to cover it over, continue to cover it over. Then when the Word of God is spoken to you again, it will have no effect on you. You'll be immune to it. And while God is calling, your heart will be so hard you'll not be able to receive him. I exhort you today, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you've been grafted into that vine of Jesus Christ, that you do it today. And I declare this to you too, as Paul did. If you do not, your blood will be required at your own hands, not mine. Now, I take no pleasure in that. I want you to be saved. I don't want you to be lost. I want you to come to Christ. I want you to know him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to go to glory with me when I go and the rest of us when we go. I don't want you to go the other direction. But I want you to know today, if you maybe never have heard the gospel before, you have heard it this morning. You have heard God's word this morning. And I warn you not to turn your back or your heart upon the word of God. For those of you who have been born again, those of you who know Christ Jesus as your Savior, but know that there is something in your branch that is resisting the life of God. Every time the life begins to flow in you, you just sense something on the inside of you that stops it like a dam. Now, those of you who God is talking to, you know what this is about. Every time Jesus tries to give you something, every time he tries to do something for you, every time he tries to flow through you, every time he wants you to do something for him and you're not able to do it, there's a block there. And you may have even said, I don't know what's inside of me, but just something hinders me. It just stops me from doing what I know God wants me to do. Today is the day to get that blockage out of your life. Today is the day to command that thing to go in the name of Jesus so that Jesus Christ has got a clear channel through which he can flow his life. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to take care of whatever it is that you want to take care of this morning, whatever it is God's dealing with you about. If you want to take care of it today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it. I exhort you to take advantage of it. I exhort you not to resist the Spirit of God. I exhort you to open yourself to God's Holy Spirit and allow him to minister to you today. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank you for your word, for the power of it and the truth of it. We thank you, Lord, that your word cleanses us and frees us. We thank you, Lord, that it's not difficult to be a Christian, that the hardest thing is resisting you. Father, I ask you to speak to those clearly and boldly, that you would have come unto you this morning. Speak unto those that are unsaved. Speak unto those that are hindered in their Christian life. Speak unto each one, Father, that they might receive your freedom and your liberty today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, it's my desire. You said if I delighted myself in the Lord, that you would give me the desires of my heart, and I'm taking claim on that promise this morning. It's the desire of my heart, Father, that every person that's in this auditorium this morning be set at liberty. And you know where the difficulty is, and you know what needs to be done. But I'm going to pray the end result, Father. My desire is for liberty and freedom, for the life of Jesus Christ to flow through every single person who's here today, man, woman, teenager, boy or girl, old or young. And I ask you, Father, to speak to those that are in need of your ministry today. In Jesus' name, I ask it. While your eyes are still closed and your heads are bowed, let me ask you, is there someone here today who does not know for sure that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord? You don't know for absolutely sure. You may be a church member, been baptized. You may have been in church all of your life. But you're not absolutely sure that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and made him the Lord of your life. You're not absolutely sure that when the fire comes that you're going to have anything that will survive the fire. You're not absolutely sure that when Jesus Christ comes to take his church home, that you've got a ticket. If you're one like that today, do not be embarrassed that you're in that condition. God loves you so much that he has you here this morning so that you can change that. God loves you so much that he sent his own son to die for you, so that you would not have to die. He loves you so much that he would take this whole church service just to minister the truth to you, that he would cause me to preach this word so that you could know the truth and the truth would make you free. But you must respond to the invitation. Jesus Christ does not have any secret agents. He does not have any closet Christians. He doesn't have any people that believe in secret. For he said, if you will not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father and his angels which are in heaven. I invite you now in the name of Jesus, if you want to take Jesus Christ as your Savior today, just to lift your hand. Just lift your hand where you are. God's speaking to you today about this. It's the most important decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you don't know for sure, would you declare your intention to receive Jesus as Savior? Is there anyone? Now, I know that there are some here that need to do this, or God would not have prompted this message this morning. I invite you, I exhort you and encourage you. There is absolutely no reason for you to be lost. There is absolutely no reason for you not to go to heaven to be with God. There is absolutely no reason for you not to be a producing, vital, alive Christian. Absolutely no reason except one, and that is your unwillingness to throw off your own pride and your own unbelief and throw yourself on the mercy of God and trust Him. I ask you one more time, is there anyone? Yes, thank you, brother. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Yes, I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now I'm going to ask you this. There are two. There are others who are here this morning that know they are saved. Many of you filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but you know that the life of Jesus is not flowing freely in you. You know that there's more for you. You don't know what it is. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and have not been. Others of you have been baptized in the Spirit, but you've quenched the Spirit in one way or another. And you want the Spirit of God, the life of Christ, to flow through you freely. If that's your desire this morning, and you want the bonds and the blockages and the hindrances to be broken, I want you to raise your hand. Keep your hands up, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, you may lower your hands. Are there any others? One more time. Are there any others that need to be freed in the Lord? Yes, I see your hand, brother. Yes, I see your hand, sister. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, several more. Several more. Several more. Several more. Yes, I see you. You may put your hands down. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Father.